Good morning and happy new year, everyone. And welcome to Dateline New Haven. It's a new day, a new year. And I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines and the stories that make New Haven tick. It is Mayor Monday. And good morning to New Haven Mayor Tony Harp. Mayor
Harp. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm
happy
okay.
New Year.
I'm actually smiling since you came in the office. You gave me my first smile of the workday of 2017.
All right.
And Mayor Harp is here to on a regular Mayor Monday to check up on what she and we are up to in New Haven. You can join the conversation by tweeting a question or comment at New Haven Indy or calling us the way Bob always does at 203-872-7ELM, 203-872-7356. The program is made possible in part thanks to support from Bertram Moses and Devlin PC and Gateway Community College in downtown New Haven. Thanks, Gateway. Thanks, Bertram. Thanks, Mayor Harp, for coming on in. How was New Year's Eve?
Oh, New Year's Eve was good. I went to Varick, AME Zion.
Oh, that's
Church.
Right. They do the big one every year.
Yeah. I went to the watch service. It started at 10 o'clock. It was. Now,
did they had it last year at Hill House, correct?
They had it last year at Hill House, but this year they had three services.
Mm.
So I think they started at around noon. Then there was another one at 7:30, and then another one at 10.
So there's like the Iceland New Year, the Morocco New Year, based on the time zones? You watch the ball drop from different parts of the world. So what does the idea of a watch New Year's service mean? What is that all about?
Well, you know, I think it's traditional in historically black churches to have a service to watch for the new year, sort of having a way of recognizing that the old year has left and that we go into the new year with a sense of faith and purpose.
I think it makes me think a lot this time of year about the idea that every day is a new day, every year is a new year. And if you screwed up a lot, you can't pretend it never happened. You got to learn from it, but that you do have a chance every day to do better.
No, I think that's what it is. It's sort of like the new minister there, Reverend Still, his theme was out with the old and in with the new. You know? And I think it's that idea that you do recognize problems that you've had, mistakes that you've made in the past, but you reaffirm wanting to do better, and you make a commitment to yourself and to God that that you'll have a better year, and you recognize that some of that requires you to have faith in a power higher than your own.
And that's almost a liberation too, because then you're not able to control everything in your world. There's a lot you control and a lot more you can't.
That's absolutely true.
So that sounds like a great New Year's Eve. So it sounded like a service.
It was a good service, yeah.
Was it good music?
A fantastic music.
I do believe that in black churches I've attended New Haven, that no one comes close to the music.
Oh, the music is phenomenal.
Yeah, Varick is terrific there, the
it's
choir.
It's really
yeah.
good, yeah. It's and good. So we is have that... other good ones too. So.
Oh, yeah, and it means it's Varick.
Yeah, no, the music in the black church is phenomenal. It's very important.
What time was that over? Did you go to the midnight one?
Yeah. And so it was over at 12. They had testimony between, I would say, 11:45 and 12. People came up and they talked about things that they'd overcome in the previous year. Several cancer patients came up and testified that they're now cancer-free. One person had been cancer-free for 5 years, and she just wanted everyone to thank everyone for their prayers, but also to thank God for the work that had been done in her life. So, and we heard a number of those testimonies. That was awe-inspiring in many ways.
That does sound great. Did they do the countdown to the Guy Lombardo, like 10?
No.
So did you know when it was 12?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, the minister said, well, you know, it's 11:57.
And did a cheer go out at midnight?
I think people just, in a manner of speaking, not like, in big public places, but there was a real sense of, of a real high amen.
I think I was reading, Carol and I were reading novels, and she said at one point, hey, it's midnight. Did you hit any parties after that?
No.
No,
but I did go home.
Those were different days.
Dick Clark, a little bit.
Dick Clark still doing it?
Well, no, he's not alive.
Oh, he's alive. Right.
But the Dick Clark production does it's Ryan Seacliff, I think, who does it now.
And there was a singer, famous singer, Mariah Carey, who had trouble singing her song.
She forgot the words. Evidently.
But she claimed, because the way they wrote it in the news was, she claimed she couldn't hear out of one of her monitors. So it seemed to think they thought she did forget the words.
Oh, I don't know. You know, that's what people, who knows? I mean, I almost know the words to that song. So as many times as she sung it, I don't know how she can forget it.
I was noticing, because we were off at the Independent last week, so we were not out covering the news, so I will be depending on you here to be our correspondent about the past week. I hope you don't mind. I didn't tell you that coming in. But one interesting place you were last week, apparently, was another church. I believe it was Emmanuel Baptist, where you had the service for the homeless people who have died.
No, it was at Trinity.
At Trinity.
Trinity on the Green. And
this was a service for homeless people who have died over what period of time?
Over the past year.
How many people have?
I think they had about 18 on
18
it.
Homeless people.
Well,
died.
But they didn't. They were homeless and they died. Not that they necessarily. Some of them may have died as a result of their homelessness, but some of them were very sick people.
What was that service like? I don't think there's ever been one like that before.
Oh no, we've
service.
Had them before.
Oh, you have?
It was we had one in City Hall. It wasn't a church service, but we've had a few of them. And so it was very nice. Again, the minister at Trinity and his assistant minister were very helpful, and they opened the church to people. I would say that there must have been over 100 people there, mm-hmm. Over 100 people at the service. It was conducted by Cornell Scott Hill Health Center, and the folks there who provide homeless healthcare outreach. And it was really important for the people who were there, who had friends who'd passed away, to have a service, a memorial for those their friends, people who impacted their lives. And then they too got up and told stories about how important some of these folks were to them, and how much they had helped with their survival and helped them access the various services around town. And so I think it was really an important thing for that community to experience and to do. And
the question I always ask my correspondents is, did any one moment stick out in your mind, one story?
There was a story of a gentleman who had just recently passed away, and his friend got up and talked about how important he was to his life, how much he contributed. And I thought that was really very meaningful. So often people look down on homeless people, and they don't realize that they do good in their own way and with their own community. And so I thought that was what stuck out in my mind.
All right, you passed. Good job. And you're listening to Mayor Monday on Dateline New Haven on WNHH Radio, your home for community radio. And Mayor Tony Harp is in the studio filling us in on what's going on. We've had two big fires in New Haven as the year ended up. The first one we were around for, the H. Crevett factory in Cedar Hill, right near the Hamden border off of State Street. And it's no longer the H. Crevett factory. They changed the name of it. You know, it was this thing about, and a whole wall got blown out. I guess it was an explosion.
Right.
And one thing that was interesting to me about that was that when I looked up in the files, they had, like maybe 5 years ago, approximately, I want to say, the company had paid a big fine, their chemical company, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, because they hadn't been maintaining a plan for moments like this. So they actually bought equipment, emergency equipment for the New Haven Fire Department for their hazardous materials and emergency response teams.
Right.
So they were paying for the equipment that, and now the day came and the federal government did its job.
And
it could have been worse. I guess no one was hurt.
No one was hurt. And, you know, I think that we've learned some things about the fire that we probably need to have more sensors than were currently there, and sensors both inside the building as well as outside of the building in the community. But it seemed as if everything worked. It's an important company in our town. And
So was there a problem with the sensors? Did we not find out? What kind of sensors?
You know, we're in the process of looking at all of those things. No, I think that we probably just, I was told that we thought that maybe there ought to be more outside of those buildings, so the people in the community feel comfortable with having that there.
And would that pick up chemical releases, or would it pick up explosions?
It might pick up even when some malfunction of equipment in the manufacturing space.
I'll let you take your sip of your tea there. I keep interrupting you every time you're
No, that's okay. Thank you for the tea.
You got your Bengal spice. You got to start the day with that. That kind of mm-hmm. wakes you up, right? Wakes me up. Yeah. We got a call in, right, Lucy? We got a call in. I'm going to, I guess that's CD3. It's plugged in. I'm going to guess who is on the line. Does it begin with a B, Lucy? All right. So I think I know who it is. All right. Well, you're on the phone with Mayor Tony Harp. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's, Paul.
Hey, it's
Mayor.
Bob. Yep. Starts with a B. Hi, Bob.
I saw Bob over the weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you see him?
I saw him at the Salisbury tournament.
Oh, how was that?
It was really good. While I was there, it was a great game that I saw.
And what is the Salisbury tournament?
It's a tournament that provides scholarships to athletes in town.
So is it high school kids, grown-ups play
high
basketball?
High school, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and they're going off to college.
And is this something done over the break so they have something to do?
Bob knows about it.
Yeah, Bob, what's the deal with the Salisbury tournament?
Well, actually, it was the Bob Salisbury tournament. There were three games. Amistad, Weaver of Hartford, and Cross High all won their basketball games. And the money goes to a scholarship fund, a Bob Salisbury scholarship
fund. And he was a coach, a famous coach at Cross.
Right. He was there.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, he's still around. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks great for his age, too.
He does. He looks good. His daughter was there, his grandson. And they gave out some awards, too. And you may know more about the people who received the awards, but it was a very nice evening, very well attended, don't you think, Bob?
Yes. There was probably about 400 or so people there.
Wow. Okay, that is a turnout.
Yeah.
So, Bob, how you doing? You got a question for Mayor Harp?
Oh, I have quite a few questions. The new year has arisen and a few questions come up, and I'm sorry I'm just tuning in and I don't know if you've talked about these.
I will let you know if we have. We did the fire, we did the homeless funeral service.
My first subject is about the police chief's job being posted.
Yep, we did not get to that yet. That's a good question. So the job has been posted. And what's your question?
I guess my question is, when it's posted, it's available to city, but is it available nationally?
Well, it's,
if you understand what I mean.
I do understand. You know, our preference would be someone who's worked in New Haven, but it's available to everyone.
But it's not being advertised nationally?
It's not being advertised nationally.
So how has it been advertised? Just within the city?
Well, it's been advertised within the city, and I think it goes on those job websites. I've forgotten what they're called.
So is this a deliberate idea? Just so I got you straight, Mayor Harp, you're saying that we are open to anyone who wants to apply this thing. We have a preference for someone who's done New Haven policing and knows the department.
Absolutely. I think that we do community-based policing better than any other city in the United States. And so it would be hard for someone to come in and pick up, or sometimes they come in and they want to change what we do. And I think we actually need to intensify what we do in terms of our relationship with the community.
And the press.
And the press.
Not arrest us. Okay. How many people have applied? That's the only dig I'm going to get in. How many people have applied?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'll have to check with Steve LeBrandy. He was out all of last week.
So as Chief Casanova told me, he has not applied yet.
Okay, well, you know
that
more
really
than I do.
No, I don't, actually. I never know more than you do. But it really surprised me that he hasn't decided whether to apply. You know, there were all those demonstrations. Chief Campbell is applying.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard any other names.
I haven't heard any other.
Because I'm hearing possibilities of Denise Blanchard, Kenny Howell, Patricia Adger, Pat Helliger, Pete Reichard's name is back up in the mix, which would be kind of interesting given the way he left. But so you haven't heard any of those names?
I haven't, no.
That's too bad. Yeah, we got a little scuttlebutt. What do you hear? Bob probably heard. Bob, who's applying for police?
No. My guess would be the acting chief would be possibly the leading candidate, Paul. I don't know. That's
what we
guess,
pundits do. But one of my New Year's resolutions, Bob, one of my New Year's resolutions is all reporters, including me, including the whole National Press Corps, got so many things wrong in 2016, and it had such big consequences in terms of running the country that maybe I'm going to pull back a little and acting like I know what I don't really know. So I really don't know who the leading. Of course, if it were 2016, I would have said he's the acting chief. He's showing what he can do. That makes him the leading candidate. But this is now 2017. So I'm going to say absolutely nothing of the sort because I don't really know. So maybe the media, we can refocus this year on reporting what we know, being a little more modest, sticking to the facts, not always having to be the smartest person in the room, and Not that we ever were, but we kind of know
well,
how to
evidence. Well, sometimes
we
were. We'll let you have that occasionally, Bob.
Bob, any other anything else you're hearing on the ground
about
police chief?
I have a couple more things to comment. Speaking of chiefs, I did get to meet the fire chief, John Alston. Very nice man. Very nice man. He seems like a good choice. Everybody I spoke to in the audience that night at his swearing in.
Well, that's right. You had the swearing in a new fire chief. Yep.
Yeah.
That's definitely gotten a good reception so far. I mean, the guy's had a honeymoon.
Yeah, he's had a honeymoon, and you know, he really is a very smart guy too.
I mean, he's actually reached agreement with the fire union on some longstanding issues about staffing for hourly shifts. That's going to let you save some money and also give some more experiences with the fire union wanted to people work in ambulance the whole time, or people don't get to work in the ambulance, to kind of get both done so that when they get promotions, they're better able to serve. That was a good sign. You know, what struck me a lot, Bob, about the fire chief, May Harp, was in his office, you know, has all these toy fire trucks.
I haven't been to his
office.
And I
said to him, you know, what are all those fire trucks about? You like fire trucks? He said, when I was in Jersey City, he worked at the Jersey City Fire Department. He said, so many of my friends died in 9/11. And I really loved them. And each one of those fire trucks is for a friend I lost. He's got a lot of fire trucks.
Oh, wow. That's too bad. But it's good to have that kind of memory.
Yeah. So the guy's been around the block.
One last question I had for the mayor was this weekend or a few days ago, I was watching a great movie called The Last Days of the Colosseum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the documentary made by Richard. What's his name, Lucy?
Rich Hanley
at Quinnipiac University. Yep.
It was a great, but I'm just wondering what's happening with that site there.
Oh,
yeah. Site.
Well, you know, we still are trying to move forward with Live, Work, Learn, and Play. I spoke to Mac Nemerson before the end of the year last week, and he had been in discussions with Max Rehm, the developer, and he's working with the architect to determine whether or not the site can be reconfigured. You know, we have abandoned the idea of moving the UI or, you know, Con Ed, you know, whoever owned these lines.
I believe
United
Illuminating was a lot of them. I think there might have been gas lines too. There are underground gas lines. It's a very low point water table right there, the water. That used to be where the harbor used to come in Connecticut, New Haven, until we filled it in. And it turned out it was an expensive, years-long process that was so complicated that just as in the Hill, when you sped up by years, a development project that hadn't happened for 20 years, just by deciding you weren't going to bother reconfiguring a street that was just fine.
Right.
The idea here was that the way you're going to move this forward is if you can move the entrance of the hotel a few hundred feet from the corner of MLK Boulevard and Orange Street, instead of having the hotel open there and having to move all these utilities, if you can move it a few hundred feet up the block, if I have this correct, and correct me if I don't, because remember, this is 2017, not 2016, that then it would be simpler to do and can move ahead, but that they were balking, and that until we get agreement that they can redraw it, they actually aren't signing on the dotted line with the hotel, and we're not getting the state money.
Right, and so I think that is where we are right now. That's perfect. And they are working with the architect.
I don't want to lose my resolutions.
They're working with the architect. It's a local architect to...
Herb Newman, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of nice. I like these drawings for that project.
Yeah. To see, you know, if things can be reconfigured.
You think it'll happen?
Bit.
You think we're going to have this project, honestly?
You know, I'm hoping that we are.
Yeah.
You know, we have a 14-year agreement.
I know. That's the thing. That's the killer. He has 14 years to do nothing, and you got your hands tied. You inherited that.
Right. And so, you know, I'm hoping that things will move forward. It is the most developable site in downtown now. So, of course.
And people want that hotel.
And we need it. Yes, absolutely.
Bob, thank you so much for the call. Looking forward to hearing from you throughout 2017.
I'll have more questions next week, Paul.
All right. Thanks very much, Bob McCormick.
All right, Mayor.
If you want to be like Bob and call in to Mayor Tony Harp, if you're listening to the live version of the show, which is at Monday morning right now, which is Monday morning at 11:20 a.m. on January 2nd, because we do replay the show a lot. And so you can't call him live then, obviously. We're at 203-8727-ELM. 203-8727-356. It's Mayor Monday with Mayor Tony Harp. So some other stuff that happened, there was another big fire at Harbor Landing. That's probably the biggest fire we had all year, no?
Well, I think it's really one of the biggest.
32, a whole part of Harbor Landing, those nice condos right by the water in City Point, mm-hmm. a whole section of it burned down.
Right.
It took hours for firefighters from several communities to come and put that fire out.
Right.
32 people are without a home.
It's a real problem. And but our firefighters, again, they showed that they're really one of the best departments in the state. So I'm really proud of the work that they did in subduing that fire and making sure, you know, there's that huge development, making sure that they contained it as they did.
And then no one got hurt, correct?
No one got hurt.
How did it start? Was it a stovetop or something?
You know, I'm not altogether sure how it started. Someone thinks that there might have been, you know, sometimes people barbecue outside on
even in this weather.
Even in this weather, or they use, you know, like the coals, and one of the coals or something may have.
And actually, it was all wood, right?
It was all wood, and so that's.
And wood is nice, but it
and
still
yeah,
burns.
People think that things are out, and they're not. And so that's what I think happened, but I can't be sure.
I'm always so neurotic about that. It's just Hanukkah and the Hanukkah candles. You always hear about some place that had a fire because someone left the house and the candles are burning. They actually say it's a religious imperative to put them out when you leave.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. You know, it's very frightening. And, you know, you go for so long without major fires, and then you have major fires, and you realize how vulnerable we are.
32 people, I guess, are homeless.
Right.
Do you know where they are?
I don't know, but the Red Cross handles that, and they make sure that everyone is safe and sound. Usually they're in a close hotels. So.
And do we know if they're going to rebuild there?
I'm assuming that they will. You know, it's not because they're condos. I don't exactly know how it would move forward, but so there isn't like a
insurance money. I don't know how it works these days, how much insurance money you get back, because they'd had problems at that complex for the last couple of years. Your building department was involved in that mm-hmm. and trying to get them to make changes they're going to make to the boardwalk and all that kind of stuff. And they also just had basic maintenance issues. They charge very high fees for the people who have the condos there, and there's been a lot of discussion about how to upgrade that place.
Right.
I wonder if there's almost like a not it's terrible you have to burn down. I've seen it. Thank God no one got hurt.
Right.
But I wonder if sometimes you get a chance to rebuild a little better.
Well, I hope so. I think that you know, we'll certainly have our building department keeping a good eye on it.
Such a great spot, that City Point spot.
It's beautiful.
I love that neighborhood. It's a great walk-in neighborhood. You have, and they got all that stuff by the water. If you like living by the water, you have the City Point Market now, which is terrific. People love that Shell and Bones.
Oh, it's great.
That's
yeah.
the old Chart House.
Vanessa Burns and I went to dinner there. I think it was on Friday night.
This Friday night?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. It was great seeing Vanessa. She's in Louisville.
The few listeners who don't know, Vanessa ran our public works department in the early 90s, did a bang-up job. She's a New Havener New Havener, who used to be an older woman and then a legislative aide. And then she was just turned around the public works department in the early 90s, credited with bringing into the modern age and getting a lot more efficiencies done and modernization. And then she was an aide, I guess, to you at the legislature. Mm-hmm. And then she became the Washington, D.C. public works chief.
Right.
And now she in Louisville?
She's in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. And she's in charge of public works there?
Yes.
But she still comes home?
She still comes home.
And how's she doing?
She's doing great. She loves it there. And, you know, her family here is doing well. So it's always good to see her.
And what was the best thing you had at Shell and Bones?
I actually had their dish that the restaurant is named after, Shell and Bones. It was really good.
What is that dish?
It's shrimp with a short rib shank.
So no carbs?
No, I'm trying to do the no carbs.
Still doing
things.
The no carbs,
yeah.
Okay. Yep. And it's working, okay.
That's right, one day at a time.
So some not good news you got last week, Mayor Harp, on December 29th, was that the state is making mid-year cuts to aid to municipalities, because, surprise, there's another deficit and another deficit and another deficit, and we're not getting to the big cuts until the session starts. But the educational cost sharing got cut, if I have it correct.
It did.
But it mm-hmm. seems like we did get cut pretty badly at the end of the last session. We got bigger cuts than other cities as well, some wealthier towns. This time we got cut, what was it, $250,000 for this year's?
Mm-hmm.
And while that's real money, that's not as bad as maybe we were expecting or some other communities got.
Well, it could have been much, much worse. Greenwich got cut over $1 million, but of course it is Greenwich. And I think they tried to look at the number of poor children in the school district, And most municipalities, even the largest ones, only got cut $250,000.
So what are we going to do to make up that money?
Well, you know, we're in the process of, with the interim superintendent, all of the spending is under scrutiny now. And so before anything is spent, even a minor thing, it has to be approved by the superintendent. So they have a soft freeze going on now. And I think that this will just be one.
Be covered by it.
Yes.
So that we got this one under control.
Well, so
while we gird up for the new legislative session, which is going to be, when are you coming out with the legislative agenda for that session?
Probably towards the end of January this month. Yeah.
Is it February when the governor does his budget message? The first day of February? Do I have that correct?
It's, you guys would know. The first Wednesday after the first Monday in February. Yes, that's when it is, budget message.
Why do we always come up with this complicated stuff? Why can't we just say February 1st?
I think that's the way it is.
Or first Monday. Why the first Monday after the first Wednesday?
No, first Wednesday after the first Monday. Just like session starts the first Wednesday after the first Monday in January.
Oh, the session does start before he does his budget message?
Yes.
So what do they do before that?
He does probably what we would call maybe a state of the state, an overall vision for the state.
Oh, he gives that speech next week?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. This week.
Oh, in 2 days from now.
On the 4th, yeah.
And that's Wednesday.
Yeah. First Wednesday after the first Monday.
So is everything going to be about the budget this session, Mayor Hart?
Oh, it's got to be. Got to be. You know, there may be some things about policies that are better, that are also more efficient. But it's mostly going to be about the budget. I think there's $1 billion problem. So.
And how much of that do you think we could do with new revenue? Or is that just not even going to be talked about now?
Well,
the state Senate is split 50-50.
I don't know. I mean, I would hope that it's at least looked at.
Tolls,
if it's not,
marijuana.
Yeah,
hopefully separately. We don't want people paying the tolls while they're smoking marijuana.
But there are a number of people who are very interested in legalizing marijuana and interested in tolls. And that'll save some money in our general fund budget because the toll money will go towards transportation.
And why do we always have to dedicate that? What is it about driving that we have to dedicate the roads in order to pass it, but we don't have to do it dedicating money to education or social services?
I think we have a federal requirement.
Oh, really?
We spend so much of our state dollars in order to generate.
But we've sure come full circle on this toll question. I believe it was in the 80s when we got rid of tolls in Connecticut, with the unfortunate name of a truck driver named Klutz, who fell asleep at the Greenwich tolls and plowed into some people and killed them. We used to have these toll plazas at the entrances to our state and throughout I-95. I don't believe I-91. And I could be wrong about that. And then we got rid of the tolls because of that. Tom Scott was a former state senator who led the charge to do that. And then now they've changed the way tolls work. So now most people use Easy Pass. You don't even stop. You don't have these long backups. You don't have these places where people park. We still don't want truck drivers to fall asleep, but actually, there might not be truck drivers much longer. I mean, given what they're doing with the self-driving trucks, but that's a whole other question. No, it's
true.
That's
even more frightening.
They've been writing a lot about that. This self-driving thing is very real. They don't know what's going to be the future of that profession. And but now, every state but Connecticut around here charges everybody as they go across state lines to go into their highways.
Cha-ching.
So at the final, speaking of the schools, final Board of the Ed meeting of the year, Coral Ortiz is one of the two student members. They're really fantastic.
She's
the student members
good.
Of that board. I notice your face when she speaks up. It's like you're just pleased that there's a grown up speaking. I'm not gonna go too far in that. You really like it when the kids participate. They seem
I
to
do.
Have a lot to say. And one thing she said at the most recent meeting was that the students in general in the system are very upset about how transient the guidance counselors are. You don't get them for the whole 4 years. You're lucky if you get them for the 2 years. They have huge workloads that they're really not giving the kids the services that kids at other school systems get to help them get to college and shepherd them through that process or give them good advice. Is that something that fell on receptive ears? Is there something that could be done about that?
Well, I know that the interim superintendent said that he heard them and that he's going to be looking at ways in which he can stabilize the counselor process. And so, but it is a real problem, and it does need to be solved.
It's funny, when we brought this up on Friday Pundits, the last one of the year, I was surprised at the reaction of the others in the room who have had long experience with their kids being in the schools. They said they thought the problem was that the guidance counselors who are there don't do a good job, in their opinion. They felt that they don't give the kids a good advice. And I was making a story of someone we know well who's Latino, whose daughter was a superstar career, who was told not to apply to any top schools. You know, you don't, people like us don't get into those schools. And she ended up actually being wooed by Yale, Cornell, all these places, and went to Yale. And there was sort of a sense that, but I wasn't so ready to dump on the guidance counselors. At least my experience when they were at, my kids were in Cross, was that in fact, they were good guidance counselors. They just had incredible workloads, and they did get moved around a lot. And they just had to see so many kids. And,
I think that's the real problem, that they have a huge caseload. They have hundreds of kids that they have to see.
I mean, you think about what they get in those privileged school districts. They really help those kids get into colleges. And also, there's also this paperwork function that you just have to get a lot of forms signed and a lot of paperwork in.
You do. And if you have, 300 caseload, it's tough for one person to do all of it.
But we just got money cut from the state. We're probably getting more money cut from the state. What are some of the solutions for that?
I don't know, but I think that one of the things that we probably need to do is to see whether or not there is a IT solution to it in some ways.
For a lot of that paperwork.
Especially for that.
I wonder also if that's a way that some of our elite institutions in town can contribute. Like, I wonder if, and maybe this happens already, so I apologize for my ignorance, but it's 2017, so we're very aware of our media ignorance with a new resolution. I wonder whether Yale students can mentor high school kids and each get like 5-10 kids they meet with in the course of a year to help shepherd them through the college process.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if that happens, but we do have mentorship programs. And some of the juniors and seniors are actually trained to be mentors to some of the younger.
That is true. Yep, we know about that.
Yeah.
And that's very cool. I met some of those mentors in the school,
right,
as well as like the fraternities, right? I'm sure these are people who went to college and know about college. They've succeeded in their careers, like the Deltas and
the Omega Psi Phi.
Yeah. And actually, I guess they do some of that too. So I guess some of it is happening.
But you really need to have it standardized so that, every child gets the kind of counseling and support that they need so they can move on to a brighter future.
And you're listening to The Brighter Future 2017 on Dateline New Haven. It's Mayor Monday with Mayor Tony Hart. We have a call from Carol Koenig. Carol, thank you so much for calling in to Mayor Monday.
Hi.
Good morning. You're on the
air
with Mayor Tony Harp.
Okay. Well, I have a question about communicating to city residents. First, it came to my attention about water conservation. When the governor was speaking about water conservation, and the information was also on WNPR radio, but the information, and that was back in the late summer, about not watering the lawns. Just a minute, I have to turn the radio off. I think it's bothering me.
No problem.
Okay, just a minute. I got to get out of here. Okay.
You sounded pretty good on the radio there. I noticed there's a little delay. So after you made the comments on the air, I heard them back on the radio. That was kind of fun.
Okay. Well, so the governor was aware of a drought in New England, and so was WNPR, and that information came out on public radio, and that we shouldn't water our lawns so much, and that information never got communicated to the citizens. And I'm thinking that a simple telephone call, as we do in snow emergencies, would really help with that. And then, just as an example, the trash pickup in Westville, where I live, was scheduled for these two federal holidays, last week and this week, Monday, because Monday is our regular day, and very few people got that information. So it made a whole lot of trouble for the sanitation workers, and it was very confusing for the public. So those are my concerns.
Well, I
thank
those
you
are
so
good
much
points.
For the question.
And I just wanted to say that on the trash pickup, that did go out through our snow emergency phone system. People were called. And so for those people who are not on that system, I'm hoping that you'll get on it.
Carol, are you on that system?
Yes, I was on it. I was on C-Click Fix, and I got the information, but my neighbors didn't. Huh. And I got a telephone call on Sunday that trash pickup would occur today, or I guess it was Saturday. And But my neighbors didn't get that telephone call. Many of my neighbors did not.
Well,
people finally figured it out that it was going to... But the trash pickup is just the kind of the tip of the iceberg example of how this bigger problem of drought never got communicated to the public.
You know, it's interesting, and thank you for the question. We wrote an article about the drought in The Independent when that was all happening. And I was a little confused because I wasn't sure how serious it was. When I listened to the officials talking, I know they were serious in other places. I didn't get a firm answer about what I was supposed to or not supposed to do in New Haven. It seemed like our water authority seemed to have it kind of under control, and it wasn't at emergency level. But I guess, Mayor Harp, one really interesting part, I think, from what Carol's talking about is how you decide when to activate these robocall systems, because you do them a lot. And I guess there might be a danger of overdoing them. I mean, do you ever wonder, you don't want to call about everything, but if it is important that people stop watering their lawns, you certainly ought to let them know that.
No, we would let them know that. And the Regional Water Authority would have informed us, and they didn't. And so, you know, I think that our water was down, but it wasn't as severe as it was in other places in the state. And I think that is why. And so, but on the garbage... my understanding is if you didn't get the call, you can call, or you can log into C-Click-Fix, let them know. They'll come and pick up your garbage.
Really?
Yeah, they've done that, actually.
They come back if you didn't put your garbage out?
If you didn't put your garbage out and there was confusion like there was.
It's like valet service.
Well, it happened to a number
kind of
people,
like this,
oddly, in Westville. And I had heard that they did call and that... our great public works department came out and picked up.
And I guess the root of the issue, Carol, might you agree, is why your neighbors aren't on the phone system? How do we get more people hooked up? Do you think that's part of the solution?
Yes, the call system or C-Click-Fix or emails or texts. Some people got texts.
Right, that's if you sign up for what's called the Everbridge, Mayor Harp.
Right.
How do you sign up to Everbridge? Do you go to City's website? Is it easy to find there?
Well, I think it is easy to find. I think if you go on to... New Haven, cityofnewhaven.com, you can sign up there under emergencies. And so I think it's easy enough to do. So just go to our website, look under emergencies, and there's a way for you to sign up.
I think that Rick Fontana is the emergency operations chief in the city. And I think he has an amazing voice for those emergency, no matter if he's talking about, like, just want to remind you to vote, or we just got a blizzard, you're not going to get to your house for 9 weeks, or stop drinking the water. He has the gravest baritone I think I've ever heard on an emergency. We always kind of imitate it in our house. I talked to him about a joke. I mean, he really...
He's very good. Yeah.
He makes you really know there's something serious about to happen. You have to hear it.
So you can look on the emergency area, but also under DPW. And make sure
Department of Public Works.
Right.
Go to Public Works.
Make sure they have your information, and you'll be able to be notified whenever there is a change. Because it was a change. Normally, they do it the day after the holiday.
And I guess, if I remember correctly, because I signed up years ago, you have an option of what you sign up for, correct? So
that's,
you can,
right,
get just the phone call. I can get the texts and the phone call on my,
right,
phone. You can get the emails.
Right, you can get the emails as well. So phone, text, email.
So Carol, any other questions for Mayor Harp?
No, that's really not. I do have a big concern about water conservation, and I think... Even though, you know, our water authority isn't, putting out some kind of a notice about it, that we should all be concerned about it, because it's probably going to be more of a problem. And anybody who does any gardening knows that the water was really scant this summer. And and how to make the best use of water is something I think the city should be concerned about, not just the water authority.
California's done a good job with water conservation over the last, they have to deal with big agricultural companies. I wonder if part of the solution lies in rethinking lawns, because lawns get so much water and you're basically supporting growth that isn't natural to that environment. I live next to an artist, mm-hmm, who just does beautiful stuff with her house and her lawn, and she just dug up her lawn and she just put in native flowers that are just beautifully arranged, and she doesn't have to water it. They're just supported by the rainfall. And in fact, our understanding of global warming, although it's not climate change, although it's not going to be consistent, is that we're actually going to get wetter, and the stuff we see growing around here is going to get wetter. But I think the caller has a very good point that there are still periods of drought. It's kind of crazy topsy-turvy weather patterns. I just wonder whether we should stop watering our lawns. What do you think, Carol?
Well, I have stopped watering my lawn.
There you
I
go, Carol. All right.
Garden.
Way to go.
And I've done that for years. I only water my gardens, mostly, just because it's a big, I don't have an automatic sprinkler system, and so it's a lot of work. You know,
So what happened to your lawn?
Well, it dries up, but it comes back every spring or whenever it gets enough water.
There you go. So I think you are leading the charge. I think, Carol, we need more people like you who aren't wasting so much water on these artificial suburban-style lawns.
And, you know, Carol, I think you make a good point, and I want to thank you for that. I'm going to see if we can't have someone in my administration who's responsible for these various local impacts of climate change. So good point, and thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much for your call, Carol. Thanks for calling
into
Mayor Monday. You are listening to Mayor Monday at WNHH Radio. We have a few minutes left. Lucy Gelman, our station manager, suggested that people take fewer showers. I'm not sure I'm up for that one, Lucy. I really like my showers. And plus, we do, and I know this is going to sound a little bit sick, but we do have a big prison reentry population in New Haven. And one of the biggest deals coming out of prison, I've been told by many people, is that freedom to take a shower, a comfortable shower, for as long as you want.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool freedom, isn't it?
So let's start with the lawns. And if anyone wants to come to Central Avenue near the corner of Burton and see a great lawn when it's spring or summer, now's not the season. You can see what my neighbor does. And then the seeds from her lawn took over a lot of our yard, and we love them. They're these beautiful, because she's an artist, so these beautiful kind of flowers that come up.
That's nice.
There are perks to living in a city. And there are also perks to riding the bus, but not too many in New Haven. You've heard me rant about it, but it's 2017, so I'm not going to be a know-it-all anymore. But 2017 was supposed to dawn with new GPS systems on Connecticut Transit buses. When Mayor Harp took over, she said that a good public transportation system is a civil right. And we've been very vocal in New Haven about how horrible bus service is in the city. It's just a joke run by the state. And the state is doing a big study that New Haven's taking the lead on how to improve bus service. That's going to take years. But in the meantime, 2 years ago, they said at least what we're going to do is, since our buses are late all the time, we'll do what most other modern systems can already do. We'll put a GPS system on our buses and you can use your cell phone to find out where it is and know if it's late and what's going to get there. So first they said you'd have that at the end of 2015, they promised. Then decided, even though New Haven makes all the noise, we'll test out the system in Hartford instead. So they did that. It's working fine up in Hartford. So they said, okay, you'll have it middle of 2016. And then that never happened. They said, well, we made a few mistakes. We had to design buses in New Haven are a bunch of different kind of buses. So we had to go back and redesign them. So they did that. Said, you'll have them by the fall. Fall came, we didn't have them. They said, well, now what the problem was is that now after we did Hartford, we're doing everybody else. And everybody else has different bus systems. Some are private. Some in Connecticut or like New Haven are public that we run. And we don't want to all one system has. We have to use one system to get all our information in and out of this that we're setting up. And we can't give our proprietary information to New Britain's private system. So now we have to have a new vendor to redesign this whole thing. But we'll have it. We're going to be able to say Merry Christmas. That's the quote they said. Merry Christmas. We're going to have it at Christmas. Christmas came, New Year came, we don't have them. So the latest word I get is that maybe in February. Any thoughts?
Well, it seems like there's always a reason why it doesn't happen. And, you know, I'm wondering whether or not the state should actually run the bus system and whether or not it should be regionally run. And so that you really take care of all the problems that each region has. And that's probably what we should think about doing, because the current system.
We could at least redo the route so that someone who has a job goes from Brookside to North Haven's off the I-91 there to work at Circuit City, or some can get there, actually go to a job on a weekend or after 5 o'clock at night, or,
you know, on the night that they lit the menorah on the green, a lady came to me and she said, I hope you don't mind and I hope I'm not frightening you, but the bus service stops at 5:30, and I live in West Haven and I don't know how I'm going to get there. And that was Christmas Day. It was the 25th. And so maybe that was what happens then. But, you know, when you think about it, in any other major city in the United States, West Haven and New Haven would be the same.
Well, and if you go to CT Transit Diaries Connecticut Bus Diaries on the Independent, we did something like 30 stories detailing about how it's not just on Christmas Day. If you have a job that isn't like 8 to 4,
right,
you're dead. You can't go from West Haven on the weekend, especially. You can't go from West Haven to a job in North Haven or in New Haven. It takes hours and hours. Forget about getting a job in the mall. If you're trying to be a commuter, like where I live in Westville, if you have a choice, you can't really rely on the bus because they say rush hour ends at like 5:30 or 5:20, and then the bus come every hour or two, and then not at all. They do stop on most lines by 6 or 7 at night. When I asked the governor about it, he said the solution is leave work early. I don't think that's how the modern economy is supposed to work. But meanwhile, how it's supposed to work is every 5 years in Connecticut, cities and towns reassess property.
Yes.
To say what your property's worth.
Right.
And it was interesting because every 10 years they come to visit your house, and then that's what we used to do, just every 10 years. And it created a crisis, including in New Haven, every 10 years because values had gotten so out of whack over those 10 years that everyone was going to have to suddenly make up for 10 years worth of changes, and some of them just got... they want to secede in the East Shore. So now every 5 years, we do a mechanical, you don't go visit the houses, but we look at comparable sales and we assess your property. Those notices went out in December. People thought that meant they got a tax increase. Because if they say your taxes went up 11%, your value of your house went up 11%, that doesn't mean your taxes go up 11%. And in fact, property all over New Haven went up, I think, 11% when you combine both residential and commercial. So that would mean if we raise the same amount of money now, your taxes wouldn't go up at all.
Right.
So we don't know if taxes go up or down until the budget's done, but you got inundated with complaints and concern and confusion at the end of December because everyone got these letters saying, here's your new assessment. They assumed that it meant their taxes were going way up if their property values went up. What happened with that and where are we going next?
So the company that has done the reval, will, if people are concerned, they can make an appointment with that company until the middle of January.
That's Vision. That used to be Vision Appraisals, is now Municipal Valuation Services. And again, you go to the City Hall website.
Right.
Or if you look up the article in the Independent, just look up assessment. We have the link to where you can set that up.
And so if you think they've made a mistake on your house, bring all of your information. Well, get that appointment. Bring all of your information. They'll be doing that. You'll be working directly with the company probably until around the 15th of January, but the middle of January.
And originally people felt you weren't given enough time because it was only till the end of December. The letters went out in December and they felt that we were on, you know, their holidays time is kind of tough. So you extended that.
Right.
And that's also something new. I don't believe in the past you could take that first step because there are two other steps that you're still going to be able to take, whether or not you have that initial meeting with
that's
the company and whether or not the company says yes. There's a two-step process in addition to this first step if you don't believe you have the right assessment.
Right. You can then go to the Board of Assessment Appeals. And that is a board comprised of New Haven residents who hear your case, hear the city's case, and make a decision. If you're still not happy, then you can go to Superior Court, and you can file a claim there.
And so you have until February 17th, I believe, to go to the Board of Assessment Appeals. And then if you lose there, as Mayor Harp said, you can go to the Superior Court.
Right.
But I'm wondering, you know, that's if you're upset that your values went up. Are people always upset if the value of their house goes up? I mean, to me, it seemed like there was some good news here. Citywide, now often people think politicians use rises in values as an excuse to raise taxes because this gets a little complicated. But if all property in town goes up 10% and then you lower the mill rate, but you don't lower it the whole 10%, you've snuck in a tax increase, right? But people eventually know what it is when you get your bill.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of good news that the grand list went up 11%. Property in New Haven is now judged to be worth 11% more now than it was 5 years ago. And what was a little bit better, I think, for residents is that it went up 7% on houses. So it went up, but commercial properties went up more. Those went up 16%. We have 27,000 properties total. So that would mean, and this isn't good for commercial enterprises like those that might have fires at chemical factories or whatever, they're going to pay a little more of the burden this time around.
No, and I think that's the really great thing about it is that it adjusts the burden.
So that
the people who actually have more valuable property are going to pay a little more.
Because 5 years ago, it was really rough on East Rock. But my understanding this time, although the final numbers weren't in, that while, again, East Rock properties went up more, and some people definitely have isolated cases where they just got huge rise in the value of the property. It's more, last time was basically just East Rock and a few other places 5 years ago where property values went up and everybody else went down. Now it looks like it generally went down in many up in many places of the city. So everyone's values kind of rose.
Right. I think that's really good. And it does speak well of the direction the city is going.
All right.
All right.
Well, it's such a pleasure to reignite Mayor Monday for 2017 with Mayor Tony Harp. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you to Bertram Moses and Devlin PC. And, oh, I forgot to ask you, New Year's resolution, Mayor Harp.
My New Year's resolution is to get a new police chief and a new superintendent.
All right. I have a feeling that that's a very doable resolution.
Well, I think that's doable.
I think it's important to make resolutions that you can actually meet.
That's a good thing. Yeah, right. It helps.
Well, I'm going to try to have the independent continue, especially in the era of Donald Trump, to take seriously our role as an independent watchdog on
That's
government
good.
And society, but also to learn and get a little humility from the mistakes we and the media made in 2016, to be extra careful, not to jump to conclusions, not to think we know all the answers, but to work doubly hard to get factual information out to the public so that you can act on it.
That's phenomenal.
So you're going to get the police chief and the fire chief, and we're going to get our act in order.
Well, and I think, you know, we're going to try to make sure that the city's acts, when it needs to get in order, gets in order and stays in order, if it is.
All right. Thanks to Bertram Moses and Devlin PC, Gateway Community College, for providing financial support to today's show. Thanks for the callers. Great to hear from Carol and Bob. We didn't hear from Ted and Alice, but maybe next time. And we're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Feel to Be Free from the CD, A Plea for Peace. This is Paul Bass reminding us all that we do know what it feels like to be free. We just have to book our flight. Book your flight and fly free with us all day and all night long at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.